Lively Stones Meditations for 22nd December 2022. The Adoration of the Kings, Part 1. Reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." We are so familiar with the story of the birth of Jesus that we recognize a painting such as The Adoration of the Kings by Jan Gossert as a depiction of the Nativity. It could be a Christmas card. Surely, this is how it was, this or something like it. And yet, when you consider the detail of the painting, this is not a straightforward interpretation of the story from Matthew. This painting introduces many elements that are improbable from a realistic point of view. I do not believe that it is intended to be a realistic vision of the actual occasion. So what are these improbabilities? Well, let's consider a few. The stable is one of the oddest we have ever seen. These ruins are fairly imposing and frankly would not offer much in the way of accommodation for any ox, ass or lamb, let alone the Holy Family. And Mary, she seems to be doing rather well, so sumptuously turned out is she. And a painting note here, the dress would have been painted in a blue pigment made from ground-up lapis lazuli, bought at enormous cost from the lapis mines of Afghanistan. It would have been a matter of devotion to depict Mary in such an expensive colour, something seen in many paintings of the time. And the baby, the Christ child, is naked and exposed to the elements at only a few days old in what looks like wintry Europe and not first century Judea. The bystanders here are all togged up as if for a pageant. The three kings have put on their designer labels and the shepherds are not exactly dressed for shepherding at any time of year. The gifts are held in exceptionally elaborate vessels, so one cannot exactly distinguish what they represent and look like nothing that Jesus would have recognized. The angels are expected, but there is a dove here at the top of what seems to be making an early appearance. There is an emphasis on symbolism, of course, and perhaps this is the clue to the interpretation here. I'm sure that you're probably ahead of me by now, for this is not a depiction of the Christmas scene that we might expect illustrated on the aforementioned Christmas card, nor is it an artist's interpretation. No, this is an interpretation by the book, and the book, of course, is the Bible. But a painting weaving stories together to illustrate more than just a visit of a few dignitaries to the baby Jesus. It is a work which attempts to interpret the spirit of the story and present the viewers, who would be before the altar, with visual theology. This is a Christmas sermon in pictorial form, and nowadays we might see a film version of these events. Like Muslims and Jews, who share a lot of the same texts, Christians are people of the book. A word that has been pored over and interpreted for centuries now. But unlike these other faiths, the earliest Christians can say that they have seen their God. Jesus was the Word made flesh, and it can therefore be said to be a religion of the image. Our Lord has been interpreted and re-envisioned over and over again, and yet no artist will ever capture the thrill of a personal relationship with the living God. I recall a discussion I had some years ago with a dear man of God who disagreed strongly with this interpretation of Scripture as visual, and I understand his point of view. Jesus is the Word. My own feeling, though, is that these words are intended to impact in us in a complete and all-embracing way, and that includes as visual images which are a part of our connection to the Almighty through His Holy Spirit. Often I can recall moments when the Holy Spirit has touched me with memories of where I was and my circumstances at the time. However, He speaks to us in different ways according to our individuality, and praise the Lord that is so. These kings or wise men bring their gifts to the birth of the Divine Spirit. They bring aspects of the eternal God from God to impart to His birth in us. Meditate on these things. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And finally, prayer requires concentration. On the Mount with God, you saw that all power has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. Are you going to be skeptical in the valley of humiliation? You have gone to God about the thing that is perplexing you over and over again, and nothing has happened. Why could we not cast it out? Our Lord never gives an answer to questions of that description, because the answer lies in a personal relationship to Himself. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. That is, by concentration on God. That is the one purpose for which we are in the world. From The Love of God by Oswald Chambers. And coming next, number 486, The Adoration of the Kings, Part 2.